Blog Talk Radio.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home, MyZestiness.com.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Friday night on the Delusion Solution radio show from 6 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 to 12 midnight Eastern Time right here on the Freedomizer Network, where we will be discussing and discerning the times by making sense of current events and bringing to light much-needed topics. Our calling number is 347-324-3704 to listen in, watching with your ears and listen with your eyes. I'm your host, Tara Dawn, and I'll see you there.
The love of fiat currency is the root of all evil. Those who issue and control the machinations of this fiat. The banksters. The bane of the third dimensional world. Financing the wars, the satanic acts, and the search to enslave mankind's spirit for eternity. But the banksters can be dethroned. I'm here to do my part. You by my side. This has been Lucifer Bernanke Cochran, host of Breaking the Banksters, live radio show airing 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Freedomizer Radio at freedomizerradio.com. I'm here to sell you investment advice, DVDs, online seminars, Bitcoin or gold or 401ks or any of that. All I want to do is use my master's in finance, my professional experience as a risk manager to inform, educate, and collaborate with my fellow freedom fighters against the banksters and their Ponzi schemes worldwide. Whether it's gold, silver, Bitcoin, prepping, Ed the Fed, geopolitical and financial analysis, market updates, prepping, precious metals, cryptocurrency, economic and political theory, efforts to end the Fed, a live phone line for call-ins, and a wide variety of guests. Breaking the banksters brings a lot to the table, but we still need your help to fight back against these banksters scum. Breaking the Banksters, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, freedomizerradio.com. Can't listen live? All archives available at blogtalkradio.com. Searching Breaking the Banksters, or better yet, subscribe to the entire Freedomizer Radio Network in iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. Just search Freedomizer Radio, and you will find all of our shows network-wide, including Breaking the Banksters. Thank you. Down with Banksters.
All right, I guess that means I am on. Thank you, everybody, for finding us. I'm Proof Negative here. I'm the CEO of The Barefoot is Legal. I didn't know whether I was going to have company or not today on the show, so I just checked in and saw that there was no show listed and there was no host, so I figured, well, I guess that means I have to come do this. So that gives me a chance to spend time with you guys. If anyone here wants to be a part of the show and share your experiences. As a matter of fact, I need to still open the freedomizerradio.com chat room powered by QuickChat. So I'm just getting organized here since I didn't know that I was going to be here by my lonesome. So give me just a second here so I can be prepared for everybody. All right, and okay, I don't need my audio to be on. All right, there we go. My screen name's already taken by me. That's awesome. Okay, then I'll just do this one. There. All right, maybe that accepted me. All right. So anyway, on to other news here. For people that don't know me, I am the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer and the Barefoot is Legal Project. Thank you for finding us here. If you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press 1 on your phone and I will go to you. That's no problem. Still just getting organized here, so just bear with me. So anyway, for the BIL show, I don't know why I have two of myself. Well, I don't care. That's fine. It's not like we'll be here for the 3-hour show. Normally I do 3 hours at night. We just have our 90 minutes here, so anyway, people want to know what's the BIL, so for those of you listening for the first time, thebarefootislegal.org, most people think that there are laws against driving a car, going into a store, or eating in public without shoes on. There's a lot of call centers and offices that make really nitpicky rules about what you can and can't wear. And this is our group to dispel the myths, to promote freedom, to gain acceptance. And, well, it does fall under the personal freedom category, so there's millions of people out there that have an interest in doing what we're doing. They just have not heard about us yet. So what my job basically is as the CEO. One of my big things I have to do on a regular basis is I am in charge of our social media. So I get to share and make memes. I get to share articles. I get to do some public speaking. And the thing is that you have a lot of people out there that are interested and they never heard of us. And my mission is to teach people to not be scared to tell others that we exist. It's funny how if you eat at a restaurant, there's a lot of people that take pictures of their food and themselves with their food. They'll share it on Spybook. They'll just say, I had this awesome key lime pie at such and such cafe. You guys should go there. And people taking pictures of themselves at their favorite theme park or whatever it is you like doing. But when it comes to representing us, people are scared for whatever reason. And I just don't understand. I don't understand the timidness of it all. I'm not saying you have to post everything that the organization makes, but one of my big things with teaching social media is to not be scared of success. You don't even have to personalize it. You just take one. I try to make the rounds as far as different ways to share our vision. And just one, even as simple as like a trivia question, which might be, do you know how many states in the U.S. make driving illegal? And it is a topic that hundreds of newspapers have covered over the years because it's one of those things that people have heard as an old wives' tale. That people believe because they've heard it, but they are curious because they might do it secretly and not tell anybody. But then when they feel empowered and they learn the rules, they're personally happy, but it's about taking that next step. It's about teaching 3 to 5 of our Facebook friends or Instagram friends or people on our Twitter that never heard this, that are interested. And yeah, I get that some people think I'm a hard ass and I don't know how to talk to people or I'm angry and aggressive. It's not about being angry and aggressive. I just look at it as if you enjoy a business, you support it. If you enjoy a cause, you support it. And the best thing you can do to support a cause is by telling your friends about what it is that you're interested in. I don't look at that as being aggressive. I look at it as sharing. And yes, you do have to give a link so that people know what you're doing. You wouldn't just say, hey, I like donating my time to charity. It's like, well, where do you go every Saturday from 2 to 5 to donate your time? So if you're into a cause and you like what we're about, you like sharing information, you like sharing the health benefits and the legal issues and enjoying your freedom, then you please feel free and honored to share what it is we're doing. So I know I've heard, and I get my share of hate mail on a regular basis. I'm not going to mince words, I guess, here, but I do get my haters because, yeah, I have gotten into people's face, I guess. Not exactly in their face, literally, but I get things like proof. You don't have perfect grammar when you're making your memes. Or you should make memes that are more friendly towards X. And, yeah, there's no law that says I'm the only one that's allowed to make memes. I mean, we all can do it. And if somebody just likes to be an instigator, I don't really have time for that because our mission is to reach corporate America in John Q. Public. It's not to match wits with management. It's not, we're not built for that. So one thing that I've noticed that separates the can-dos from the won'ts is when I get my share of haters and people get on me, I'll ask, okay, I understand. I know it's fun to yell and curse at the CEO, but instead of we all trying my ideas, let's try your ideas. What are you doing for the cause? And if all they're doing is spewing back profanity and hatred and telling me to go suck an expletive, yeah, that's not, yeah, those are all excellent suggestions, but unfortunately, those are not going to put butts in the seats. Those are not going to promote the mission. And telling me that I'm a list of 10 to 12 consecutive curse words is not really going to help the cause in any way, shape, or form. However, like I said, just sharing what we're doing should be the most important thing, and that's what I want to promote. We have 65,000 plus members now, when you include the different people. I'm not including people that are in both. I'm including people that are either in our business page or the Facebook group. So I think that's a pretty strong accomplishment. It means that we're basically the size of a medium-sized city, I guess, with a lot of tourists, because we've had over 38 million Facebook views so far in 2017. So the traffic is there. It's just a matter of reaching people. And one of the things I wanted to make sure that we talked about today was the fact that we are expanding. I am on the other side. We have the people that are the ne'er-do-wells, I suppose, but we have a lot of people that are, in fact, interested in our mission, and I'm very excited about that. And we are having what's called the VIB, which is the very important barefooter. We're doing the VIB memberships so that if somebody wants to put their money where their mouth is and they want to do even more for the community. Next Friday, I think we're doing our launch party finally next Friday. I've been waiting for like 6 weeks to do this, I guess. But what we're offering is not only do you get the T-shirts, the business cards, and whatever other trinkets we have going on right now, We have extra access on the website that we can't offer publicly because, well, there's documentations and things like that that I don't want corporate America basically to get their hands on. And the most important thing is that you get an ID card, which has a picture from you, of course, sending in a photo of you at a store. On the front has our logo, and it has your name and the city and state you're in. On the back, we'll have our website and toll-free number. It'll have something in relation to our rights, like a state right thing that was on the state right cards that Nick likes to promote. And it also has a QR code. So if somebody says, hey, there's laws, I can't let you in here, you pull out your card and you can show them with confidence. If you click on my QR code, get your phone out, scan the QR code, you'll see a letter from an actual health department in this state that shows that there are no laws. And if you don't believe me, there's a phone number right there and the name of the person you can ask personally. We're hoping that will shut up a bunch of people that like to give special taps on the shoulder. So we are offering that now. I'm hoping that we can entice people to get in on the ground floor because freedom is not free, unfortunately, and activism is a team sport. So the more of us that get together, get involved, enjoy what we're doing, putting our money where our mouth is, the more people that do that, the more successful we are going to be. One, monkey see, monkey do. So people want to get involved only if others are getting involved. But two, the money, of course, raises our awareness factor. Because if we raise X amount of money, we can do Y. If we raise XX amount of money, we can do Z. And Facebook at some point will be old and go away. So will every social platform, basically. And they'll move on to the next one where it's even more interactive. I don't know who they're going to be. That even MySpace, which was huge 10 years ago, is basically nothing now. It'll happen. And do we want to regrow our whole movement over again to find a new platform? Yeah, I want to put everything, for the most part, on every social media platform. But I want our founding and our structure to be on the barefootislegal.org website so that whatever changes there's going to be, you can always find the website. And if we can direct traffic, we can direct the Alexa rankings, which means that we can direct more traffic if we have traffic. Fortunately, we have some traffic right now, and I'm very happy about that. But the way activism kind of works, or advocacy, or whatever you want to call it, is that you have to have a team. This isn't anything about my feelings, your feelings, any of the other managers' feelings. It's about a team, and what can we do together to get what we all want, which is freedom. And if your mission is to simply put nothing into the pot and say, hey, if I go out two or three times a year and somebody sees me, then I raised awareness. No, you did not raise awareness. If somebody looks at you and you say nothing, they just say to themselves, what a random nut job this person is and how offensive they want to be. By you not telling anybody, you, I'm not going to say are the cause of the problem because you're not, but you're not progressing the movement. And that's not being a progressive because I'm not a communist. I'm more of a libertarian. But it's about being part of the cause. And it's like if you're a vegetarian. How do you raise awareness of being a vegetarian? You tell people, you write recipes, you do some YouTubes on it, you go and get involved in Facebook groups, you have meetups, you do whatever it takes to get people to join if you're promoting vegetarianism. If you just say to yourself, look, I promote vegetarianism by not going to McGMO, then are people really learning? And unfortunately, the answer is no. So I am completely on board with telling people. And I'm not saying you have to say to everybody, hey, look at me every Thursday, Sunday, and Tuesday on your spy book page. But I just think it's important to try to raise awareness in your town, make some friends, start a meetup, and just try to create small communities. There is safety in numbers. I promise you, if you went into Whole Paycheck and there's 60 of our BIL members that happen to live in Denver, and you all shop at the same one, and you all have full grocery carts, they're not going to say on the loudspeaker, we need all of our shoppers to leave the store. And then they're going to spend 2 hours doing nothing but putting perishables back on the shelves. If one or two people a month go shopping, yeah, they might feel empowered to remove people from the store. But if you get communities that go on a regular basis and you tell them and you voice your concerns and you say that this is how I shop and there are three other stores that want my money, and if you're not accepting money today, then these three will, so let me know. Then, if our voice gets out there, corporations will abide. It's up to us to make the corporations listen to what we want. And I'm told I'm too aggressive for saying that. This comes up quite a bit. So it's like that with anything. If you want your Guitar Center to carry xylophones, you have to call them and ask if you can buy an xylophone. If nobody wants it, they're not going to sell it to you. But if 200 people happen to let them know that they want xylophones, it's the next big thing, guess what? They're going to start carrying them. Our concept is the same. You don't tell anybody, they will continue to treat you like garbage is trash. They will treat you like a piece of mold. However, if you continue to bang corporate, let them know that you're not going to shop there because of their policies and it's just for your safety, then you can tell a business to go F themselves. Maybe not in those terms, but they need to know. I promise you that if you bought a piece of chicken, went home 20 minutes later, there's mold on it, I promise you that you would probably tell people on Facebook, you would probably call the store, you might call the corporate number, but you're not going to call them and let them know that you got evicted from a store and you're not going to take it. So that's the concept of our mission here, and I hope that I'm able to share and get people to the next level. All right, it is break time here. I have to be more in tune with our breaks, being that we have a 90-minute show, and being that I'm here by my lonesome. So if anybody wants to be a part, I do like to talk to people, believe it or not. For those that don't know my voice and you're listening for the first time, I'm the architect and CEO of Freedomizer, and my shows are usually on 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That's 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Daylight Time. So I'm going to grab a timeout. Please support our sponsors. If you can do anything other than telling your friends, it's that you support the sponsors who, if you don't have money to give to the BIL, that's fine. If you can't afford it, I'm not going to beg you for something you can't do. I don't make anybody do anything that I refuse to do myself. But you could do things that help the cause, like I'm going to promote our coupon book here, which is Save Around. They have the brand new 2018 Save Around books that you can get on the freedomizerradio.com website or the barefootislegal.org website. And what it is, it's everybody's seen the entertainment book. This is their biggest competitor. So what this is, there's coupon books in many U.S. cities across the U.S. that do discounts and buy one, get ones, and have a free this or that. Usually restaurants, but there's shopping and flowers and all that other stuff. And it's not just mom and pop's hole in the wall, but there's actually chains in here as well. So you get both. And you might find new places to go to. And I look at it this way. I have a family of four. And if I could save 15 or 20 bucks on a meal, I am very happy. For most people, 15 to 20 bucks savings is 1 hour of work. And if you could save 1 hour of work by taking your family out to eat, then yes, by all means. So the good thing is you can view the books in your area. You can decide if there's enough in there worth it for you to purchase. If you do, look at it this way. You're going to save yourself money, and you're going to support our business, which, of course, Freedomizer, the nonprofit, the BIL, you're supporting both. So you benefit, Save Around benefits, I benefit, our listeners benefit, our host benefit by you just simply purchasing a coupon book to save your family money. So, like I said, please view the books. Hopefully you pick one up. I might try to make that into, I don't know how I can make that a contest. my brain's turning here for the BIL because I want people to be involved, and I'm a coupon person, so if I can save money and if I can support a business by saving myself money, then guess what? I'm going to be doubly all about that. All right, let's hear the commercial. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
In this digital society, making connections is quickly becoming a lost art form. Yet, if you are a small business owner, building your network is the only way you can get ahead. Can these skills be learned? You bet they can. Read Nose to Nose Networking, No Nonsense In-Person Networking Tips from a Master. Who's the master? Well, who better to teach networking and friend-building skills than a golden retriever? The author, Melanie Hope, takes the antics of Abigail and translates them into the human experience. Through Abby, you will learn how to set your intention, build a network, and get into and out of conversations with grace. If you love the Dog Abby segments on Counterculture Wise Radio, you will love Nose to Nose Networking even more. Find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in hard copy, Kindle, and Nook. Visit CounterCultureWise.com for direct links.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Here, of course, this is the middle portion of the show, I suppose. If anybody wants to join me on air, that's fine. The number here, 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1. I am your host today, Proof Negative, filling in for the BIL radio show. And, well, I didn't really have an agenda today other than I saw that there was nobody doing the show, so I jumped in today. I happened to come across an article while doing some minimal show prep here from Reader's Digest, and as a matter of fact, let me put this on our FreedomizerRadio.com chat room. Powered by QuickChat. I'll also stuff this onto our BIL business page. For those of you who are not part of our BIL business page yet, facebook.com/barefootislegal. And if you want to join the group, which we have, it's facebook.com/groups/barefootislegal. So that's how you become members. So anyway, reading an article here, there's a surprising reason kids and adults should start going barefoot more. And this is written by Claire Gillespie. I wonder if I can find her. I might see if I can write to her. It's always nice to get different guests involved here. So I don't know how much of this I feel like reading, but anyway, the next time you get your child dressed for a day at the playground, you might want to leave their shoes at home. While many parents won't consider sending their kids barefoot into the big bad world, there are some persuasive reasons for doing so. In fact, many experts believe it's actually better for a child's health to go barefoot, such as parenting guru, teacher, and author Kevin Geary, who claims that shoes are bad for kids because they hinder spreading, which limits the proper function of the foot and prevents proper movement development. So it increases risk of foot and lower leg injuries. All the benefits of going without shoes are numerous, writes Geary on his website, Revolutionary Parenting. Firstly, it helps a child develop body awareness because it enhances proprioception, which is the body's ability to sense movement within joints and joint position. The bottom of your feet have over 200,000 nerve endings, and they make us more careful when we navigate surfaces that we walk on. Yes, mom and dad can benefit too, because going barefoot also strengthens arches, ankles, feet, lower legs, increases agility, and helps protect against injury. Studies have shown that people in cultures who do not typically wear shoes do not suffer from foot ailments or injuries that affect balance and posture, like corns, bunions, or ingrown nails. Ditching shoes also increases children's balance and helps them develop good posture. According to podiatrist Tracy Byrne, who specializes in podopediatrics, wearing shoes at too young of an age can hamper a child's walking and cerebral development. The feedback that they get from the ground means that there is less need to look down, which is what puts them off balance and causes them to fall. Expert Simon Wickler agrees that bare is best in his book, Take Off Your Shoes and Walk. Wickler simply states that practicality of all shoes have no relation to the natural shape of your foot. Most adults' feet troubles would either not exist or be much less bothersome if properly shaped shoes had been worn during childhood, or better yet, people did not wear any. And I'm positive that I can put this article out. And just like when we post something on our business page, you'll get 50% of the people that are interested, and you get 50% that think it's Evening at the Improv, and they'll just write some stupid thing on there, and I don't even go without shoes when I go to the bathroom in my house. I take them off when I get in my shower, and then it's the first thing I put on before I leave the bathroom. So there, I know that I'm not getting sick. We have, I'll just give Nick, I guess, because Mr. Deutschman, not the usual show host here, but our second in charge here. He delivers pizzas at an undisclosed GMO pizza company. And he says all the time he can't believe how many people will look around for their flip-flops and they'll yell, "Hang on, I'm putting my shoes on," just to answer the door to grab their two pepperoni cheese pizzas. Like it's against the law for someone to see you without your shoes on or something. And so that's part of the stigma that we have to work around here. And I hear people all the time, "Yeah, I heard it's healthy, but I hear it's illegal," or "I hear it's not healthy," which is kind of a weird conundrum, because for health benefits, I understand that you like to not wear shoes. But for health reasons, I can't let you. I don't have words for it, I guess. It's like, please take this vitamin to help illness, blah, blah, blah. But don't take the same vitamin because you could get illness, blah, blah, blah. That's the conditioning. And if you see the type of memes that I make, I routinely try my best to point that out. Yes, tempting as that is. Sorry, I just got an offer to come over now and go into somebody's hot tub. As interesting as that is, I would much rather be here talking to myself on the radio. So, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm not opposed to being on the radio. I'm just saying, if I'm on air, I'm not going to hang up to go do something else. So, how do we convey, as a whole, as a general barefoot populace, that there are health benefits when there's been conditioning the past 50 to 70 years and routine shaming all over the place, and sometimes I like to share, let me see if I can get that meme out here. Since I was not here last week, I want to share this if you give me a second. Well, actually, there's two. When I post memes, sometimes I get feedback, and some of them are so hilarious that I have to share them. One was that there was somebody, I guess, in New Zealand or Australia or someplace outside of the U.S. anyway, that said, because I posted an article. I might be giving myself a tangent within a tangent here, so you guys will have to indulge me for a minute. I made a meme after a news article that I saw that explained how millions of flip-flops are taken off the beaches on the Atlantic and the Pacific coasts, and they eventually make their way underwater and killing sea life or ocean life, river life, whatever. And the fact is that you have beaches and people either have their shoes wiped off them or they were, well, two ways. One, they didn't think to either put their flip-flops in a bag or leave them in the car or at home. And so they wore them to the beach, decided to take them off and walk into the water. A wave comes up, grabs them while they're in the water, and drags the flip-flops into the ocean, living happily ever after. Then you have the ones that think it's illegal to walk on the beach without shoes on. Or they must think it's illegal because they would never think for a second about not wearing them. So they wear them, a wave comes up. They're facing towards the water. And the current is strong enough while they have their foot lifted that it just comes right off. Washes ashore, they can't grab it in time, so it lands into the ocean, living happily ever after. They don't get to swim to it fast enough or whatever. Anyway, so I made a meme reminding people that it's okay to not wear their shoes while walking on the beach. And, yeah, I got some hate mail. I actually got kicked out of a minimalist group that said, how dare I tell people about the dangers of going barefoot as being positive. You should always wear shoes on the beach. But I would recommend not buying $3 flip-flops, but I would recommend wearing shoes that are upwards of $100 because they're made better with more orthotics. Hey, last I checked, having shoes is more maximum than not having shoes, but I got kicked out of the group for sharing something that's unhealthy. But, and I see you there, Melanie, I'll grab you in a second. One of the funniest things was they said you should never be outside of your house or even in your garage without at least thongs on, which they're referring to flip-flops in the other part of the country or the world. You should always have flip-flops on because there could be a poisonous snake anywhere. Now, keep in mind, this person is not wearing a wetsuit. They're not wearing a scuba mask. They're not wearing a helmet. They're not wearing gloves. They are not even wearing a shirt. But somehow, if they have a piece of rubber that is as thick as three sheets of newspaper held on by a rubber band, somehow this snake is going to get ultimately confused and slither off. Never mind, you might not see a snake ever in your life in public, but that's what they're saying. And I've lived on the beach in Long Island. I've lived on the beach in Jacksonville, Florida. I've been to beaches across the U.S. I have to admit, I've never seen a snake once laying around on the beach. There could be a style of snake called a beach snake. I have no idea. But the last time I checked, a snake can also bite your ankle, your shin, your knee. Maybe you could be bent over and it could grab your finger. Maybe it's in a tree on the beach. Like there's going to be a tree on the beach, but there's better chance of a tree on the beach than there is a snake, I think. But, yeah, you're out there walking around. You don't have a helmet on. What if you're wearing a bathing suit that shows like 5% of your butt? Is that snake going to say, well, most of your bathing suit covers your butt, so I don't know where to bite, so I'm just going to go slither off and bother somebody else. Yeah, I just don't think that's how the animal kingdom works. All right, let me go grab Melanie real quick here. So I'm glad we at least have one audience today. Welcome in.
I'm sure you have more. I'm sure you do.
Well, you're the first caller and the first one in the chat room, so.
Oh, I'm not even in the chat room. But, you know, I've noticed even on our show that when it looks like we're just talking to the air, we will later get comments on Facebook. So there's got to be another way of listening in that we just can't see, because we do have folks listening to us even when we don't think we do.
Well, this is all impromptu because I noticed at 10:10 Pacific time there was no show made, and I really don't want to give another 2 weeks worth of free advertising out to keep our sponsors, and I don't want our sponsors to be upset and say forget it. So I came in and did the show.
Right. Well, maybe we should consider offering Nick a permanent co-host so that if things are going on, you know, he'll have somebody filling in.
Every single waking Saturday, that's part of my Saturday routine, is asking one of our 65,000 plus people if they would be interested in learning how to be a co-host.
Yeah, well, not everybody are public speakers, you know. That's a bigger fear than even going barefoot.
Well, this is private speaking. Believe it or not, did you know that being seen without shoes on is one of America's 10 biggest fears, and I'm not even kidding?
Where did you find that? Because I know public speaking is always number one.
I remember reading it somewhere, but more people are easier with being seen naked than they are being seen without shoes. I remember reading the article once, and I don't have it in my wherewithal. I'd have to look for it.
How can you be seen naked and not be seen without shoes on? Because you wouldn't be naked if you had shoes on.
But there are a lot of nudists that think that it's okay to just flop around, but they have to wear shoes at all times.
That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, I understand that, but there used to be a real estate reality show for a while on Arts and Entertainment. It was called Buying Naked, and they have a nudist colony. And the rule around the nudist colony is you can go any place you want to within the colony, but you have to have your shoes on to go to any of the restaurants, to eat tennis, to join, to go to the gym, to go to any of the public areas. And everybody said they had no problem with that.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day. In fact, the reason I pressed one to come on was while you're talking about walking at the beach, and I wanted to talk about one of the first things people say is like, well, yeah, it's fine to walk at the beach in the sand and all that, but what about hypodermic needles? There's, you know, so the way they talk is like everywhere you go, there's just dirty needles just thrown everywhere. And, you know, I've done a series of videos on our Barefoot is Legal YouTube page, and I might actually see if I can get some diabetics or something to donate some needles, but the chances of the hypodermic needle being in the exact perfect position for you to step on it, it would go through your foot whether you were wearing shoes or not. As a barefoot person, we would instantly feel that sharpness and raise our foot and most likely suffer even – it probably wouldn't even break our skin. As a person wearing a flip-flop, you wouldn't feel it until it's already past your foot.
Well, that's
so
like the same argument of when I talk about all the time where there might be glass when I'm going to McDonald's. There might be glass on the ground. Just because they don't sell anything with glass and you don't see it doesn't mean that somebody will come in there and throw broken glass onto the floor so you could step on it.
Right. And
well, that's
That's
like saying that you should always wear a helmet because you could be in Domino's Pizza and someone might throw beanbags at your face.
Right, exactly. And I did – one of the videos I did was walking on broken glass. And it always cracks me up because I go to – I live in Las Vegas, and I go to the liquor store barefoot. And I have never had an issue. But if I were, I'd really have to ask, well, how often is there broken glass in here? Because I've never seen it. They're usually very clean, very well kept. But in my video, I actually demonstrated how hard it is to break a bottle. I mean, I started out with a wine bottle or a beer bottle, and I actually threw that from over 6 feet as hard as I could into our cement driveway and could not break that bottle. And I did it three or four times. And all it did was bounce. So I had to upgrade to a wine bottle, which had more surface area and probably thinner glass. And it took me 2 tries throwing it from above my head into the cement as hard as I could before I was finally able to shatter that bottle. Now, it did break into multiple pieces. Some were large enough that anybody would see them and not step on them. There are still some splinters out there, even after I cleaned it up, that I see every now and then when the sun hits them. But I walked through that with both my feet and wasn't punctured, wasn't cut. You know, it's like I don't understand where people get these fears. They're completely irrational.
Well, it's due to conditioning, that's all, because they heard from their parents. And their parents told them. So we're the third generation now into it of being told of how unsafe it is.
Right. Well, I was trying to yesterday was a glorious day here in Vegas. It was raining and thundering and lightning, and it was warm, and I was just loving the hell out of stomping in puddles with my bare feet. It felt so wonderful. But
Seattle, so you would like that.
Well, no, because in Seattle you can't do it because you'd freeze to death. So being outside when it's raining and yet warm enough that you're not shivering and miserable, it's like heaven. And then it goes away, and the sun comes out later. In Washington, that never happens. It just rains and rains and rains and rains, and you're cold and miserable.
I was thinking in terms of, yeah, rain's good. Rain's fun to go run around in. But I draw the line at lightning.
Oh, I love lightning. Oh, yeah, I love lightning. In Washington, we get a lot of thunder, but we don't really get to see the lightning very much because we have so many trees. But here, we have just beautiful fireworks displays. The only problem is it terrifies Abby, so we have to drug her. She didn't used to be afraid of it, but as she's gotten past 10, she's really gotten afraid of thunder.
I was wanting to ask
you a
question because I don't get to go to liquor stores much. How much is a bottle of Grey Goose?
It depends on what size bottle you want. But if you really, really, because Grey Goose is one of my favorite vodkas. But I don't do hard liquor very often. I'm more of a wine drinker. If you want to get Grey Goose at the best possible price, go to Costco and get the Costco brand because it is literally made by Grey Goose.
All right, I just want to know, for argument's sake, I want a big bottle of Grey Goose. What's it going to cost me?
Well, if you go to a liquor store and you've got, I'm not a connoisseur by any stretch of the imagination. It's been a long time, but I would say you'd spend upwards of $60 for a good-sized bottle. If you went to Costco,
you'd probably
spend
like I said, I'm not the price is the argument here. It's what my question would be is if $60 bottle of Grey Gooses are breaking at such an alarming rate, why are they not just doing shipping and delivery only?
Exactly. And they're not. That's the thing. They're not. So, and like I said, it took me several tries of actively trying to break them to get a bottle to break. And even then, it was so obvious where it was that any barefooter would notice it immediately. Only someone who has been shod their entire life and doesn't watch where they're walking. And as a barefooter, we have to watch out for them too. I mean, the last time I had a foot injury, it was because somebody with steel-toed boots kicked out their foot as I was walking by and broke my toe because they were so unaware of their surroundings that they didn't even know they had kicked another human being. And if I had fallen over in pain... No, he felt terrible. He was actually very sweet about it. But here's the thing. Because he was wearing steel-toe boots, he didn't even know that he had kicked another human being. He didn't even know. I mean, can you imagine being so unaware of your surroundings that you could cause bodily harm to another person and completely be unaware? It blows my mind. And as a barefooter, you know, I love walking on different textures. I love feeling the different temperatures of things, like walking from the hot cement into a nice cool store with the tiles. I love walking into the refrigerated section and feeling the coldness and then walking back out to where it's warm. I love, I was doing an apartment shop the other day looking at apartments, and, you know, of course I had to wear barefoot sandals because they probably wouldn't allow me to walk into their office barefoot. But they had just laid new floor, and it was like a wood grain tile, and it was just divine on the feet. And people are missing out. It's like wearing gloves your entire life or wearing a face mask and not being able to see colors or something. I don't understand why people are so conditioned. And if you think about it, the first thing that we do when we go into a society that is happy – and, you know, they may not be wealthy but by our standards, but they have their own indigenous culture, and kids are running around naked and barefoot, and they're fine. The first thing we do to enslave them is to make them wear shoes. That's the first thing we do. Every nonprofit organization ever, the first thing they do is raise money to get them shoes. And then they build schools. Well, except for us, yeah. But, you know, I worked for several years at World Vision, and they're a wonderful organization. They do a lot of good all over the world. They're always one of the first responders in every disaster. They have helped millions of women get back on their feet. They've helped entire villages turn around. But for the life of me, I can't figure out why shoes is, like, the number one thing. You know, they go over there, they treat them for malaria. They teach them safe sex. They teach them, you know, Christian values. They teach them how to farm. And yet all these people who were perfectly happy not wearing shoes are suddenly imprisoned. And now they have to treat all the diseases and the infections and the corns and the calluses and the deformities that come along with shoes. And that's all part of the medical thing, is to treat all these foot illnesses that they didn't have before. And I don't understand it. So one of the main things I disagreed with is, like, if they're running around barefoot, let them. Just let them. Focus on things that are more,
well,
dig a well.
You know what I find hilarious? And I don't know if you ever watched any episode of Survivor.
A million years ago.
Okay, well, anyway, they could be in a very remote village area, and they'll have some of the natives come in just to show them one certain skill. So you'll have, say there's 12 contestants left, so they'll have 12 tribe members come in. You can always tell who the American is because they're the ones not just wearing sandals, but they'll have sneakers with their socks pulled up to their knees.
Right. Right.
Meanwhile,
and, you know,
all the tribalists don't have anything on.
Exactly. Right. You know, I get in areas where there is a high instance of, say, malaria because they haven't taken care of the insect population. Covering as much of your body as possible. I get that. I do. Usually at night is when you need to do that. And by then you could be under a screen. What I don't get are people who, like you were saying, they have to put their shoes on to answer the door. Hell, you're lucky if I put my pants on to open the door, you know?
That brings up another issue, though, because just think, if you're hosting a Thanksgiving dinner, the average person will put shoes on just because they have company coming over.
Yeah, it's true. I do want to share an experience that I had yesterday that was actually very sweet. I tutor children all over the valley, and you know, by the time the parents are paying a tutoring service to have a tutor come in, you know that the parents are involved, and you know that the kids want to succeed. So I'm very spoiled in a way that a lot of public school teachers aren't, in that my kids are all amazing. And they want to learn, and they're engaged, and so are the parents. So I always feel blessed. Well, this particular family, brand new, first time I ever tutored for them, and, you know, it was just so beautiful and rainy all day that I couldn't bring myself to put on shoes. I didn't want to make a bad first impression because sometimes that freaks people out. But after I come a couple of times and they get to know me, I just don't wear shoes to my tutoring sessions anymore, whether they're at their home or in a library, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And usually nobody's ever had a problem with it, ever. In fact, I even go to the rec center at Henderson, and even the security guard will sit there and chat with me, and nobody's ever mentioned me not wearing shoes, so that's been pretty cool. So I had on my barefoot sandals, which are literally two strings that wrap around my toe and behind my ankle. And, you know, I wanted as minimalist as possible because with my fibro, sometimes anything touching my skin is just torturous. And plus, you know, it was rainy, so I didn't want to get all soggy and nastified. So I just went ahead and wore those in. On my way out, the girl who is just darling, she's an artist, and she wanted to show me some of her artwork. So we went out to the garage, and she's showing me her pictures and everything. And Mom comes out, starts talking to us, and she noticed my tattoo and complimented it and then said, "I really like your sandals." And I kind of moved my foot over. She goes, "Wait, those don't have a bottom. You're barefoot." And I said, "Yeah, I don't wear shoes unless I absolutely have to." And the little girl who was wearing slippers the entire time immediately took off her slippers and chucked them over her shoulder. I think her mom told her she had to put on at least slippers when the tutor came over. When she found out that the tutor was barefoot, she was all about being barefoot.
Yeah, it's all about conditioning. It's just, yeah, like I say all the time, you get compliments because you look as close to having nothing on as you possibly can, but if you have nothing on, the same equal. It's like 1984-ish, kind of. There's a line in 1984 that is like my favorite line of all time. People in the streets, people were outraged and protested in the streets because the price of candy was raised to 50 cents. So the government decided to lower the price of candy to 50 cents, and they turned that into a parade.
That kind of sounds like what we have going on now.
May I have a second to share the other meme that we talked about on Wednesday?
Sure. Let me go to the chat room so I can see what you're seeing here.
Well, that's the one that, oh, you were not on. I thought we talked about this before, but maybe not.
It's the one with the clear strap sandals?
No. No, I get our share of messages on our business page, and I feel
the
business. It said, barefoot is legal. It is illegal to drive in any state and in every country barefoot. We wear flip-flops because it is required. Last month, my flip-flop broke. I tried to fix it, but eventually the whole strap came off. It is illegal to drive barefoot, so I had to call Uber for a ride. The Uber driver even said it was against the law to be barefoot in a car, so he made me try to keep the broken flip-flop on my foot just to take me home. Told you it was illegal.
I love it. So it's illegal because I say it's illegal. That's the law.
Never mind that we have the all the links and letters from DMVs and driver's ed books and things like that. That doesn't matter.
That just encouraged me to make another meme. I'm going to make a circular logic meme.
So let me share this one I made today. This one is right on the doorstep of 5,000 hits, and I created this somewhere around 9 o'clock, I think.
Well, I think that's the fastest Twitch chat has ever posted something. Yeah, I saw this one.
Oh, really?
This is one of our new members, the one on the left. That's one of our brand new members who makes those sandals.
Yeah. So it says, does anyone else hate shoes so much that you would wear strings on top of your feet just to fool the shoe police?
All the time I keep a set in my purse because the shoe police will come out. You know what's funny is yesterday I was in a Ross, which I've been kicked out of more times than I can count for being barefoot, but I was actually working undercover, and I wore my two straps over my toes, but I was barefoot in there for a little over an hour. I had two clerks say hi to me and ask me how I was doing. I had a security guard talk to me and tell me to enjoy my day. I went through the checkout and bought something, and nobody said boo. But if I had taken the two straps off the top of my foot, all hell would have broken loose.
I don't want this to be sexual at all, but it's almost like if you just wore bra straps but did not wear anything covering the special part of why they exist, then would people be happy knowing that you have bra straps?
Well, I don't know if you saw this post earlier, but somebody was talking about, well, if they're a private business, don't they have the right to deny you service? And I said, absolutely. But we've got two issues going on here. The first one is those of us who go barefoot because of philosophical or religious reasons. And basically this business is saying the same thing as if you don't want us to shop there because we're wearing a hijab or, you know, a dot on our head or whatever. The second one is those of us who go barefoot because of medical reasons. And that's like the business saying, I don't want you to shop here because you're in a wheelchair. And both of those, while technically not protected by law, both of those are discrimination and both of those are illegal.
Yeah, I would like to see somebody that says we don't allow wheelchairs to say, well, it's part of our dress code.
Exactly, and that's exactly what they're doing. I almost laughed in the face of a manager the other day at Vons, and I'm going to call them out because I'm so sick of them I could scream. But she said, you know, we can't allow bare feet in here because there's food. I said, well, I don't pick up the food with my feet. Nobody does. And people wearing flip-flops are still showing every bit as much as their feet to the food, so I can't make this connection. And she goes, well, that's also sanitary reasons. That's also why we don't allow dogs in here. Well, you allow service dogs, you have to. So are you telling me that by virtue of my dog putting her service dog vest on, she magically becomes hyperallergenic or something? She magically becomes germ-free? because I will wear the Superman cape so that I can go barefoot if it's that magic that it completely changes the genetic makeup of the dog. You know, I mean, the logic is just not there. And it short circuits them. And then they become emotional. Well, you know, this lady actually got so mad at me, she just said, well, you just do your shopping and get out. And she, the way she said it was like she had won a victory. Because I told her she was Hispanic and the security guard who tattled on me was black. And I said, look, I would love to educate you on where the no shirt, no shoes policy came from. And she says, I'm not interested in being educated. And I wanted to educate them so bad on the fact that this was built solely and specifically for discrimination against their kind, against them. And now they're the ones, you know, trying to make a big stink out of it when basically it's furthering discrimination against particularly blacks and you know, hippies. But they weren't interested. Okay. Can you imagine looking someone in the face and say, I'm not interested in being educated?
Yeah, I know.
No matter how much I disagree with someone, if they're willing to, and I was very calm, and I didn't raise my voice, and I was very factual, and, you know, if somebody is like that with me, no matter how much I disagree with them, if they're willing to educate me and actually cite facts, I am all ears. Anytime I can learn something, I'm all in. And these people were like, no, I don't want to be educated. It's like, well, what can you say to that?
But the difference on this, though, is do we take this to the next step? Because like I was saying earlier in the show in the beginning, that the reason why the BIL exists is because just going in once or twice, yeah, these people feel like they can kick people out, but if you don't tell corporate, they have no idea that there's people like us that exist. And so more of us have to get on the businesses and let them know why we're not going there
right.
anymore. Because, yes, people have a right to say, I don't want you in the store. But more importantly, it is our right as a customer to decide who gets our money. And
exactly.
A business can be right all day long, but are they in the business of being the morality police, or are they in the business of making money and having employees and profits?
See, and this is why I wish that we could get folks to do more get-togethers, because I know that the mentality is if I approach this single person, I can bully them or belittle them into leaving and get my way. But if 5 or 10 of us walked into a business together, they would be less inclined to bully you and make you leave, and they might be more open to being educated. I would love to get together 5 or 10 friends barefoot and go into Vons together as a group for 2 reasons. One is because you're not a fruitcake out there by yourself trying to get away with something. 2 is they might be more open to education. And 3, if they're not, they would see 5 to 10 people leave their business without spending a dime. And that makes so much more of an impact than one crazy redhead leaving muttering swear words, you know? And we really need to start supporting each other, you know, and basically do the equivalent of a sit-in, you know, do a pad-in or whatever we want, a toe-in or whatever we want to call it. But we need to just start being bold and being bold together. And I think that's the biggest problem we have with I don't want to call it a movement, but that's the biggest problem that we have with our cause is that each one of us is like the Lone Ranger, and nobody's seeing us as a group. They're seeing us as individual wackadoodles that are trying to get away with something. But if we were seen more as a group of like-minded people that support each other, and I think that our BIL memberships and having the cards and looking more professional, I think all of that's going to help, but not as much as actually getting together and actually doing something together and being seen
right.
together.
Yeah, that for me is level 2. Level 1 is telling your friends and family that we exist, and 2 is actually leaving your doorstep and going to meet people of like minds. So
right.
Speaking of which, I'm going to ask if you can take some time today and let everybody know about the birthday get-together next Friday and about our launch party.
Oh, that's right. I need to actually put that together. So
yeah, because as much as I want to say it's for my birthday, it would be extremely tacky if I said, hey, I want to have a birthday party, buy me presents, which I don't want. My only present would be, if you really want to buy something, you can buy yourself a Saveron book, and all the profits will go to the BIL. Other than that, I just want people's company and to enjoy our lifestyle and help us put these packages together.
All right. Well, we're going to host it at our house. I've made it an executive decision because it's really the only place where we have the room and the ability. So the only thing we have to overcome is if some people are or say they are allergic to pets. I really don't buy that, frankly.
Well, I want, even if it's that pokey place, we can all go there first and eat and then go to the launch party.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care where the location necessarily is other than I want people to get their last chance at, not last chance, so to speak, but I want them to have a chance. Like me, I don't have a photo, so I need to have a photo.
Right. We need to get you, like, in a business suit or something.
I'll have a dress shirt on and some pants, so I'll do that.
Well, I know that Friday is still a working drudge day, so we have the day off that particular Friday, the 15th, but I know you don't, so I was thinking starting the festivities around 7 p.m., would that work for you?
Yes, it will.
Okay. All right, so I will create the event and invite everybody in the BIL, and we'll even talk about it on our radio show. We're going to be in San Pedro. Live on location in San Pedro for Counterculture Wise this weekend. But I will get that out, and we'll have a pre-meeting get-together at Sweet Pokey on Maryland where folks can come and get, even if they are vegan, there's everything there you could possibly want. If you like sushi, if you like teriyaki, if you like noodles, they got it all. It's a small business. They have never had an issue with me being flat-out barefoot with or without my barefoot sandals. They're super sweet people, and the food's amazing. And not that expensive, so we can go there. We could get it to go. We can hang out. It's pretty small. So, I mean, I don't think they could accommodate much more than 20 of us, but I don't think we're going to get 20 in this area on a Friday night.
Okay.
And then, you know, get together and have a get together. And then if we want to, maybe go out afterwards and do karaoke or hang out somewhere and just have a good time.
Okay. No, that's cool. I can appreciate that. That's the outro music. Thank you for joining us, Melanie. And
you betcha.
I'll be back. I'll see everybody on the website, barefootislegal.org. And we'll stay tuned for Tia Severino coming back. Thank you for listening in.
Good night.